Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network, and this is our Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive. Lisa Nalbandian joining me here in downtown Milwaukee. You get a lot out of Wisconsin Public Radio no matter where you listen, and today we're asking you to put something back in. At WPR, we count on listener contributions to pay for just about everything we do, and your gift now keeps the programs you value, including this one, on the air. Please make your contribution now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Kathleen. Last hour, the goal was 55 pledges, and we heard from 93
Wonderful.
Listeners.
Thanks, everybody. That's great.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. So this hour, let's just repeat that.
Yeah.
We have another goal of 55 pledges. These hourly goals are so important. They help us stay on track financially so we can keep the discussion going strong on Wisconsin Public Radio. Take a moment right now and give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And in just a moment this hour, we continue our conversation about the budget. Dan Vrakas will join us, Waukesha County Executive, who has issued a statement of support of the governor's budget repair bill. And we'll also be hearing from the mayor of Stevens Point, Andrew Halverson, who is not supportive of the budget repair bill and delivered a letter to the governor last week talking about his concerns. And the letter was signed by some 270 elected officials all over the state. So these conversations are important. They are unique. They're not happening elsewhere. And they are possible because of your financial support. So please give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Today only, everyone who pledges will be entered in a drawing for an iPad. You could be the lucky winner when you make your pledge of any amount. Today only at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You don't have to pledge to participate. To enter without donating, send a postcard with your name, address, and telephone number to WPR iPad Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Postcards received by March 10th will also be entered in the drawing. You can find all the drawing details and make a pledge at WPR.org.
Think about all the issues that you've heard discussed on the Ideas Network in the past year. There are so many, and all of those conversations were possible. Think of all of them. They were possible because of you, listener support. Make your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Do it for all you've learned in the past year on Wisconsin Public Radio.
New members are very important to Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to all the first-time donors who have pledged so far this hour. The more people who support WPR, the more stable our financial situation, and the better we're able to withstand economic ups and downs.
And we do want you to pledge right now. If you've never given before, know that your new membership will help keep Wisconsin Public Radio the same strong, reliable station that you depend on. You decide the amount and then give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. The number again, Lisa?
888-202-2552 or WPR.org.
And we're going to continue our conversation about the budget. We will have two guests with us during the course of the next hour. Waukesha County Executive Dan Vrakas, who released this statement following the governor's budget repair bill outline. I support Governor Walker's budget repair bill. It's a bold move that is a much needed step forward toward fiscal responsibility that fosters growth and prosperity in Wisconsin. The state budget deficit must be addressed. It is time to be honest about what taxpayers can afford. It's also a time to bring public sector benefits in line with private sector benefits. Wisconsin must now be a leader in fiscal reform, and the budget repair bill is an honest step in that direction. A little bit later during the course of this hour, we will be speaking with the mayor of Stevens Point, Wisconsin, Andrew Halverson. He and some of his staff traveled to Madison last week to present a resolution asking for the continuation of collective bargaining rights for public employees and calls for changes in workers' health insurance and retirement co-pay to be spread out over 24 months. He says what's irritating is the insistence is that this is what mayors and municipalities are asking for. This is not what we ask for. It's about maintaining integrity for the workers while keeping what we need to function in day in and day out. We'll be welcoming phone calls. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. And our phone lines are completely filled right now, but there will be, I hope, an opening for you sometime during the course of this hour. Mayor, actually, our guests are on together, which would make it an even more spirited conversation this hour. You don't want to miss it. Mayor Halverson, thank you very much for being with us.
Absolutely. Good morning. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, our pleasure. And also joining us is Waukesha County Executive Dan Brakas. Dan, County Executive Brakas, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. Good morning.
Yeah. Well, the two of you have completely different ideas about the budget and about the budget repair bill. And let's just get to what you both think about this. And let's start with you, County Executive Brakas. You support the budget repair bill. Do you support it with reservations? Do you wholeheartedly support it? If so, why?
Well, I think we really need to do this to set the state up for the future. This is about, it's not about us. It's about the next generation. We're currently running, you know, in a deficit situation. We have been for years, and this governor has stood up and said it can't continue. So he's asking some very reasonable changes in employees contributing to health and pension costs, and you know, he's got some other changes that I think will really set us on a good fiscal course.
Mayor Halverson.
Well, first of all, Dan, I want to certainly send my good mornings to you. You and I had, unfortunately, a very good mutual friend in Lee Sherman Dreyfus and his connection to Stevens Point. So we certainly want to send a good morning to you. There are a couple things that I think we want to talk about. One, the city of Stevens Point and our common council clearly does not unrecognize the fact that shared revenue and changes to the way in which we fund municipalities through the state of Wisconsin has to change. That's certainly something that we all recognize. In fact, we also recognize that employees need to be paying their share of certainly their costs for health care and for the retirement system contribution from the employee side. I think some of our concerns have been the speed with which this particular process has moved through, and the collective bargaining component, first and foremost, of the budget repair bill. I want to talk about that first. In terms of its response, there were a lot of ancillary reactions to it and ancillary impacts that I don't think were understood in the beginning. One is our extreme concern here in reference to what the transit system may or may not become with the abolishment of collective bargaining for public employees aside from wages. That's a real concern for us. So we understand that shared revenue has to be changed. That's clearly part of the only way that the state is going to be able to get their fiscal house in order. We fully intend to be a cooperative partner, but I think the size and scale of the reductions is something that needs a little more conversation.
Are you worried at all about how you're going to be able to pay for good schools to plow the roads to make sure that Waukesha is safe when police and firefighters are exempt from this increased contribution? Are there concerns about making Waukesha a top-notch place as a result of this budget?
Well, we actually are the lowest spending county per capita in the whole state of Wisconsin. And we've always put public safety as our primary consideration. And so we feel that with the tools and the changes in the collective bargaining statutes in the bill, of course, the budget repair bill has to be passed along with the budget bill. I'm really hoping that the 14 senators will get back and do their jobs. You know, I served in the legislature for 15 years, and I took a lot of votes that I didn't like, but that's the way it goes. And if they would come back and do their jobs, it would give local governments the tools to deal with the cuts in shared revenue and cuts in human service aids and those types of things. So I think we could continue and will continue. Government just simply has to do more with less. Everyone's doing it.
What will you have to cut?
Well, I haven't looked at the numbers yet, but, I mean, every year we go through a huge you know, compilation of different services and look at what we need to do to balance the budget. You see, states, unlike the federal government, have to have balanced budgets. We can't keep running a deficit in the state, so it's incumbent for all of us as local officials to step up to the plate and look for areas to economize. I think there's a lot of consolidation that we can talk about, and we're certainly starting to do that in Waukesha. We actually started to ask employees that were newly hired 4 years ago to start contributing to the state retirement system. And we've got a very hefty contribution to the healthcare system as well.
Mayor Halverson, you want to respond?
No, I certainly don't disagree ultimately with what Dan is talking about. Those are natural changes that have to occur. One of the first things that you talked about, Kathleen, was what I had said in terms of the governor's insistence that we're asking for these tools. The tools, arguably, that the League of Wisconsin Municipalities had asked for was specifically a scalpel, and the governor took it upon himself to give us a sledgehammer and a chainsaw and then, of course, force us to use that. And that's understandable because we do have to modify what we do. But we can also certainly work within the existing collective bargaining law to get the changes that we need. The league asked specifically for changes to the mediation arbitration law and not abolishment of it, but modifications to it, requiring arbitrators, for example, to take into account local economic conditions that would speak to a lot of the concerns that the county executive just touched on. There is definitely a way for us to work within the negotiation system. We've done it here successfully. We have our unions settling at 0% and had them settled at 0% for 2011 and only a 1% increase in 2012. What also concerns me is that there's this perception out there that municipalities and local governments have not already consolidated and have not already trimmed. We moved to mechanized garbage collection, eliminated several positions because of that efficiency. It allowed us to leverage capital improvements that saved us directly on the operational side. Consolidating with a metro fire district, we just entered into automatic aid agreements to completely modify how we provide service level on the fire protection side right now. We're buying equipment with our neighboring partners with the Village of Plover and the Village of Whiting here already. So municipalities have already been very mindful of the fact that the county executive brought up, we have to balance our budgets, but we've done it in a way that's been creative. Unfortunately, what will now happen with this budget is we don't have any credit for the reductions that we've already made. Now we are going to be forced to make that many more reductions. And for us, especially if you look at what this budget says, the shared revenue reductions theoretically aren't as extreme as actually we thought they would be, although they will take some getting used to. The hard part for us now is with the levy restriction at 0% and the inflationary changes to the expenditure restraint program equation, taking that to 0% doesn't take into account the clear likelihood of higher gas prices and all of the other variability of a variety of different line items that we will now have zero flexibility in dealing with, but to reduce service level. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be the real concern that I think we have.
Mm-hmm. And what about this issue of loss of local control and being able to deal with a budget within the negotiation system? And the letter was signed by a lot of other elected officials that that Mayor Halverson brought to Governor Walker. Can it be done within the current negotiation system, do you think, the Waukesha County Executive?
Kathleen, and I'll get back to that. I just want to speak to a couple of points that the mayor brought up, specifically with respect to the transit provisions. And there's been some concern, of course, that the federal government won't allow transit aid to be released in systems that aren't don't have a collective bargaining. Well, that's a holdover from when this country saw the downward spiral of the railroads and increase in transit system. The national unions put some protections for themselves in the law. And my response to that is, first of all, there's not concise legal opinion. There's a difference of opinion on if, in fact, that would occur. And if it is the case, then the federal law needs to be changed, because just like Governor Thompson went to change some of the federal laws in order to allow us to do welfare reform. In addition, to talk about using a scalpel with the meat arb law, I'll tell you, I was the chair of the Assembly Labor Committee for 8 years in the state legislature, and we tried each session to make meaningful changes. Governor Thompson in the early 90s had a special task force set up to make changes to collective bargaining. We could get nowhere. At every turn of the page, the unions have fought even meaningful changes to the mediation, arbitration, and the collective bargaining law. So it's simply not the case now, of course, that Governor Walker is saying, let's roll it back to collective bargaining that is even greater than the federal employees in this country enjoy. Let's roll it back to a point where we still, of course, have unions, where we aren't compelling people to join unions, but certainly if they want to join unions, they can, and you know, that's not good enough. So,
but Mayor Halverson is saying, you know, we're doing okay, and his letter was signed by 270 elected officials throughout the state of Wisconsin. He's doing okay, and a lot of other municipalities are as well.
Well, I think that's a debate, obviously, that the taxpayers have to speak to, and I think they spoke to it in the last election. We certainly, with this, would get more local control. I just totally, I couldn't disagree more with the good, well-intentioned local officials as far as the local control. I remember my father in the 70s, you know, and the collective bargaining law came into play in 1971, and in the 70s, it was enhanced session after session. And I remember my father at the time as mayor of Waukesha saying, my goodness, every time the management goes to the table, there's more items that have been placed as mandatory or permissive subjects of bargaining on the labor side. And, you know, we're talking about things that really will save money. You know, step progressions, longevity pay, shift differential, overtime, comp time, call-in pay, vacation, holidays, sick leave, mileage, seniority, uniform allowances. I mean, in Waukesha County, you know, a third of our employees are in a pay-for-performance system. It's great. They're not in any union. We are rewarding people on performance and productivity, and we really have had great response with our employees to our pay-for-performance program, and I think we need to start to think about the new way in this state to take labor relations. This is old way. It's not collective bargaining. It's collective arguing.
Mayor Halverson.
The idea that we can't do it within the existing law just simply doesn't make any sense if you're willing to make those meaningful changes that then Representative Ruckus fought for in the assembly. That's certainly something that we feel would be able to give us more than enough tools to be able to make this work. The league asked for 3% on the WRS contribution, and we're looking at 5.8%. Now, one of the practical compromises that the Stevens Point Common Council put in their resolution here, and you're also talking about the other letter that we worked with, which is excellent, but what we'd ask for is to stretch that increase in the WRS over 24 months, and really to be able to do that for one very important reason. We accept the fact that employees should be paying toward that. Where Dan and I think, will agree is the fact that the public sector wages and benefits combined have started to outpace the private sector. I came out of the private sector. I can recognize that and appreciate that. But if we are going to take that amount of liquidity that quickly out of the state's economy, that ends up presenting some real economic issues on a micro level here in Stevens Point and Portage County, and ultimately on a larger scale throughout the state. We felt allowing that to come out of the economy over a longer period of time would clearly lessen the impact. Now, one of the things I also want to challenge the county executive on is the idea that the transit, if you listen to what he said, there's really a difference of opinion. We're not quite sure as to what the impact is going to be to the transit system, in essence. The U.S. code is very clear that you have to maintain collective bargaining at the level at which it was when your municipality or and or entity started to take the federal subsidy for transit. Now, the hard part for us is that is a lack of opinion in terms of real clarity as to what that means. The bottom line is, Dan, we don't know what it means, and we don't know what the impact will be in terms of that federal compliance. And here's the real scare tactic that this ends up employing to the least fortunate in my community. They have no other choice. This is their transportation choice that is their last resort because they have no other opportunities. It would literally mean that the disabled, through our paratransit system that we run here, it would really render our disabled immobile. That's not something that I'm willing to accept as just, well, we're not quite sure where it's going to go. And that's just not adequate to a demographic that has no other choice but this transit system as their transit choice of last resort.
Well, that would have to be worked out, wouldn't it, Waukesha County Executive Dan Ruckus?
Well, yeah, and I mean, it is a very confusing issue. I mean, before 1977, when the collective bargaining law was extended to municipal employees, there were aids being sent to communities for transit. So it's certainly a point of debate, and that's what the legislative process is for. The budget's introduced now. I believe finance introduced it. Now we'll have some debate. And, you know, it's a proposal, and we can't have a debate unless the senators come back and debate the bill. And they're not debating it in Illinois.
All right, we have tons of people who want to speak. Not tons isn't the right word. We have four people on the line who would like to speak with you. We have many more, I'm sure, who want to join the conversation. We'll start taking phone calls in a moment. We're continuing our conversation about the budget, and we have two guests with very different viewpoints. Our guests are Dan Vrakas, Waukesha County Executive, and Andrew Halverson, who is mayor of the city of Stevens Point. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We go to phone calls. We have many people who are trying to get through here today, so get your thoughts together before you get on the air, okay? Let's go to Ed in Milwaukee. Hi, Ed.
Hello. Good morning, and thank you for taking my call. This might be a little bit different, but I wanted to mention that mass millions of dollars are redirected from care of the elderly and minor children to incarcerate people, especially in this state. I've been saying for about 10 years that the real only growth industry in America is incarcerating the indigent. For example, in what in England would be a fine or a six-month probation is a mandatory five-year prison sentence in the United States. For example, having five marijuana cigarettes. And if a 20-year-old college kid would get arrested with five marijuana cigarettes, that would be a felony. He wouldn't be able to get a student loan.
All right, Ed, I need to hold you there. We have so many people trying to get through. What about early release being abolished? What about money for prisons? Let's start with you, County Executive Vrakas.
I voted for truth in sentencing in the legislature, and I think it was a mistake to change that law. There are things that we're doing, creative things in terms of helping people turn their lives around. We've got we had the first alcohol treatment court in the state of Wisconsin. We're giving people a hand up, and the people that show a desire to turn their lives around, we're certainly helping them. But when you do the crime, you have to do the time.
Mayor Halverson.
Well, I think with anything, especially when you deal with crimes in general and criminal situations throughout a state, there are a lot of reasons why crimes happen. Obviously, alcoholism is a key component to that, but economic difficulty and jobs are certainly another one. So I think the more that the state can do to focus on jobs and make sure that there are opportunities out there, educational opportunities at the same time to retool and re-energize our economy at the same time. There's always a balance between the amount of money that you spend on education and the amount of money that you spend on incarceration. I would certainly fall on the education side. The only way you're going to solve a crime problem is if you're making sure that your overall population have the skills to succeed in a new economy.
Are both of you convinced that the changes in terms of money to public education, the changes in terms of increasing the number of students who can go to choice schools, will be good for public education, which, you know, I'm a former teacher. I'm trained as a teacher. I loved going to school. I love schools. I love teachers. And I got to just tell people that because it's the truth. They make a huge impact on all of our lives. Are both of you convinced that we can handle, still have great education in the state of Wisconsin with the kinds of changes that we're talking about here, and quite frankly, with the kind of dissatisfaction on the part of public school teachers that you're seeing throughout the state? They're a little bit demoralized.
I can maybe take a stab at that. I think competition is healthy in anything that we do, including government, and certainly there's a huge role for good public schools, and there's also a role for some private choice schools. I think that the work rules in particular that are forced, on school districts through the collective bargaining law are kind of hampering a lot of districts to make a lot of the reform and have a lot of the flexibility that we require. And so I think this can be a positive for public schools.
Mayor Halverson.
Well, Kathleen, I think you're exactly right. I think the teachers in the state of Wisconsin are ultimately demoralized because they've been villainized, quite frankly, by this overall budget conversation. You know, my wife's a teacher. I see what the effort goes forward. I see the time that gets put in at the end of the day. I see the time that goes in over the weekends. I see the fact that we spend as a family hundreds and hundreds of dollars every year out of our own pocket to make sure that the students in her classroom have presents to give their parents or have Valentines, for example, that they can give their parents. You know, it's amazing that we've come to this point in our state where we're going to take that per pupil credit down. We're going to cut some $900 million, if not a billion, out of schools, and then we're going to think that somehow we can maintain our competitive stance. Look at our ACT scores. You know, look at where we rank right now nationally. That ranking is not going to stay where it is if we take all of this funding out of the public school system, and then by the same token and out of the same breath, encourage choice at the same time. It's going to be very difficult to make sure that those work.
But by asking our hardworking public employees to contribute to pension and health care systems, we actually put new money into the system.
Well, you certainly, in terms of easing up the budget on school districts themselves, there certainly is a correlation there. There's no doubt. I think the ultimate question, however, is going to be what is the ultimate reduction in terms of services and what will it mean on a district-by-district basis? The governor insists on using an aggregate number, which I understand why he would do that. But the aggregate, of course, is not going to be objectively and uniformly distributed throughout the districts that we have in the state of Wisconsin, and that's another concern. Each district will have to take into account their reductions, and some districts, of course, given the income level, are going to experience different levels of cuts.
Mayor Andrew Halverson, Mayor of the City of Stevens Point, Waukesha County Executive Dan Vrakas are our guests this hour together, and we're welcoming phone calls for them. We'll get to many more in a moment. I'm Kathleen Dunn. Lisa Nalbandian is joining us in our studios in Milwaukee. We have so much going on. Also, the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive. Giving now at WPR.org. or 888-202-2552 will keep this program going. So invest in your future. Please donate now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're looking to get 27 more pledges in the next 30 minutes, and your pledge right now helps keep this program going strong. Make your contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
When we talk about Wisconsin Public Radio, we make an exception of giving our opinions on the air. We're not afraid to say that we think WPR is a unique radio service. It's a service well worth your support. Take a moment to voice your opinion right now by making a pledge of support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have an exciting drawing today. Pledge any amount, and you'll be entered into a drawing for an iPad. All pledges today only at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 will be entered in this drawing. You can find out all the details about the iPad drawing at WPR.org and make your pledge while you're there.
Wisconsin Public Radio is a non-commercial station. We don't count on money from ads to cover the cost of our programs. The money in our budget comes from a few places, and one source of income really stands out, and that's listeners.
People like you who contribute keep Wisconsin Public Radio on the air. It boils down to this. If you listen, you should join. Join Amy from Rice Lake. Join Judy in Milwaukee. And join Friend from Middleton, who says, Kathleen Dunn is my sunshine. Thank you, Kathleen, for your excellent programs and your compassionate and insightful discussions with guests and callers. Call now, 888-202-2552 or online at WPR.org.
And our goal is... What's our goal?
55 pledges.
And where are we?
We have 27 more to make in the next 20 minutes.
Okay. Consider making your gift in the form of an ongoing monthly gift, and you can set that up on your credit card or from your bank account. When you make an ongoing gift, you don't have to remember to renew your support each year.
You'll be a sustaining member. And your support will be consistent as your WPR listening month after month, year after year. And to say thanks, and in keeping with the green nature of this paperless pledge, we'll plant a tree. Become a sustainer now by making an ongoing gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And thank you all very much. We are continuing our conversation, and an important one it is, on the budget with our two guests this hour, who include Waukesha County Executive Dan Vrakas and the Mayor of the City of Stevens Point, Andrew Halverson. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. And we go next to Jim in Hazel Green. Hi, Jim.
Thank you for taking my phone call.
Yeah,
Kathleen.
Sure.
Listen to the program quite often. I got 3 points to make, and I've got a daughter that's a teacher and a granddaughter that's going to college to become a teacher, and I can tell a Wisconsin spokesman that both of them are on the air right now that my daughter is very seriously considering moving to a different state, her and her husband. He's got a job that allows him to do that, and my daughter just come home and told me that she is not going to be a teacher in Wisconsin because the governor and the Republican representatives up there are making them enemies. They're making them like they're enemies, and they're not enemies. They're people of the state. They're citizens of the state. They represent the state well. And I gotta admit, they work 6 and 7 days a week grading papers and doing other things. The second point I want to make is when you're giving tax breaks to businesses and millionaires of $140 million, $150 billion, and then on the third point I want to make is you're putting businesses, some of the state's businesses, power plants, water.
Okay, the phone cut out there, but let's go at least with the first two. County Executive Vrakas.
Years I've been making the point that public employees are invaluable. In fact, I will guarantee you that for every one public employee that's up at the Capitol protesting, there are dozens back home that are doing their jobs, working hard, and understand that we all need to make this contribution to the pension and health care systems to keep our state solvent. Nobody will have a job in this state unless we address the budget deficits that we're running head on. You know, the fact of the matter is, and you know, I don't like it anybody any better than anyone else, but we've got to make tough decisions. Last year, the Democrats and Governor Doyle put $2 billion of stimulus money, one-time money, into operating costs for the state budget. We didn't do that in Waukesha County. We didn't put any stimulus money in our operating budget, but the state did, and now the bill has come due, and, you know, Governor Walker is just addressing this, and if we don't address this and get our state back to a point where we're solvent, there aren't going to be jobs for everybody. There's going to be a lot of other people. And sir, I hope your family members reconsider, because I know they love Wisconsin and they're very valued. I mean, we all remember that teacher that we had in grade school, and so that's certainly not the case. We just all need to work together. If we don't have a strong economy and our businesses aren't thriving, we're not going to have taxes and good jobs for people to afford a good education system.
All right, let's go to Mayor Halverson.
Well, and certainly what the gentleman was talking about, I think, is the overall question of the perception of teachers currently in the state of Wisconsin. And I think if you listen to a lot of the media, certainly emanating out of the mass media, you hear a lot of questioning about greed. You hear a lot of questioning about overpaying. There's a lot of concerns that that I think teachers really do take personally in this entire mix. Now, what I said at the beginning of this particular program is that where Dan and I think do agree is the fact that when you look at the overall wages and the overall benefit structure, there is a disproportionate amount of money that public employees are compensated for right now. That is true. So we've got to be able to work that, and we need to be able to do it in a respectful, negotiated manner. That's the way I look at it. Now, the other interesting component of that is clearly the WRS contribution being paid for by the employer for years and years and years was a negotiated item where wages were suppressed in order for that higher benefit structure to be able to be realized by the employee. Now, we probably are at a point in our history where those two lines, if you will, have crossed. How we work through those reductions and how we minimize the ancillary economic impacts to the state are the real question. What the League of Wisconsin Municipalities has argued is that we feel that you can retain collective bargaining if you modify it and give us a few tools, adequate tools, which, by the way, I believe may very well be the derivation of the use of the word tools as emanating out of the league. But the key for us is If we have a legitimate stance that says and argues, we realize that shared revenue needs to change, we realize that reductions have to be made, the way in which it happens is really what the argument rests at. We aren't saying that reductions shouldn't happen. They should. It's the way in which they happen and the process that we use to get there that I think really is the ultimate debate. Those 14 senators, right or wrong, good, bad, or indifferent, when they left the state, did one thing. They slowed the process down and they let people be able to analyze what the impact of the budget repair bill would be. We would have never even realized that transit was going to be in jeopardy or other issues were going to arise, probably unanticipated, had they not done that. So there was good that came out of it. You can argue whether they, quote unquote, should be at work or not be at work. Mm-hmm. But the key is the very fact that it slowed the process helped us get to the root of a lot of these issues within the budget repair bill.
Dan, let's talk a little bit more about jobs. The governor has made Wisconsin open for business the theme of his new term as governor of the state of Wisconsin. What did you hear in the budget last night that affirmed his belief in that? What do you see going on that will create jobs in Wisconsin, which of course is another key element in all of this? You got to get people working.
Well, I think you sent the message that Wisconsin is serious about getting our budget under control. And when companies talk about either expanding or locating in Wisconsin, it's important that they know that the budget is good. That's what we in Waukesha County stress. We're one of the only AAA bond-rated counties in the state, and we are definitely in a position to lure and tell businesses to expand here. You know, in addition, there's no fees in the budget. There's no increasing of taxes in the budget. And so I think that in combination with the fact that he's proposing to exempt the capital gains on investments, long-term investments and reinvestments in Wisconsin companies, that ought to tell people to invest in our great Wisconsin companies. And just coincidentally, Waukesha County's portion of that $250,000 is $17,000. So we're prepared to roll up our sleeves and do what we can to create 17,000 jobs right here in Waukesha County.
Let's go to phone calls again. Hugh in Milwaukee. Hi.
Hi, I voted for Governor Walker. I don't know whether I support this budget thing or not, but I do blame the protesters for disrupting real debate, and instead they have sloganeering, their drums and so forth. They're violating just noise codes. They should be evacuated from the. They say it's our house. Our house is the state building. Well, it's my house, too. I pay taxes. And just to have these disruptive elements, how can you have real debate going on when you have people just shouting shame and we hate Walker and Walker is a dictator and so forth? You can't have real debate. The people who should be debating it are the Democrats who fled the state.
All right. Thanks for your comment. Mayor Halverson, you want to make a response to that?
Well, I had a chance as I delivered the resolution in person that the city council passed here in Stevens Point last week. I had a chance to stand in the rotunda and experience exactly what the caller is talking about. It's a very interesting feeling. I have been in the Capitol I don't know how many times, but I have never seen it in the state that it is in currently. Now, I think you can debate whether or not it's right or wrong. I think what it does illustrate is the fact that there are a lot of voices out there that don't feel as if they're being heard right now. And I think ultimately the speed that the Republicans were going to move at with this indicated that there wasn't going to be very much debate of any kind involved with this process. And I think that's really why the protesters were there. And I think there was a definite need for citizens to be able to feel as if by some way, shape, or form that their voices ultimately were being recognized, if not heard.
Mm-hmm. Let's go next to George in Marshfield. Hi, George.
Hi, Kathleen. I love your program.
Thank you.
I watched Meet the Press on Sunday morning, and Governor Brewer was on there. She's the governor from Arizona. And I was a little amazed at what she said, and maybe they should play it over and over for Governor Walker. She was talking about the cuts she had to make in her budget. And her one statement was, you would never, ever cut education because everyone knows that's the economic driver for economic recovery. And here we are taking $1 billion away from our schools.
All right. Thanks for your comment, Dan.
Well, you know, education remains the largest budget item in the whole state budget, and we certainly try to do the best we can, but it continues to be the biggest part of the state budget. There's just no getting around that, and to ask for some reforms in that area is certainly not unreasonable. We're giving tools to school boards and management in the schools to have the kind of flexibility to manage in a difficult time. Whether we like it or not, the national economy went into a tailspin, and you know there's a lot of things. This is not exclusive to government. If you look at what's happened with the major automakers in our country, if you look at what's happened with Harley Davidson, with Mercury Marine, with Kohler Company, I mean, people are having to ask their labor forces to be more flexible. And actually, I think in the long run, it's good for the staff. We're doing it here at Waukesha County, and so that's why this collective bargaining issue is key to this whole thing, because it allows us to manage tight resources in difficult economic times.
We haven't talked about at all in the last 2 hours the $250 million cut to higher education. Do you want to speak to that, Andrew, as mayor of a city where there is a strong University of Wisconsin Stevens Point?
Well, I'd love to, and as the former student body president of that organization.
Oh, are you really?
And also a director of the Alumni Association, believe me, we have extreme concerns. Now, what's interesting is I brought up Lee Sherman Dreyfus at the beginning of this particular program, and I have to tell you, the way in which Lee Sherman Dreyfus ran this university here and ultimately ran this state does not emanate with the mindsets and the ideology that's coming out of Madison today. The concern that we have, and our chancellor, Bernie Patterson, stepped up very clearly and indicated the very strange situation that spinning off Madison and Milwaukee from the system would clearly create. We have extreme concerns about that. Lee Sherman Dreyfus, when he was here as the president and then chancellor of this university, used the term ruralplex to decide what we were. And ultimately, he recognized that the very fact that universities themselves, as bastions of knowledge and research, were the very engine that drove our economy regionally and throughout the state. So we're going to take $250 million out of the UW system. We're going to put more debt on the backs of students who are only trying to retool and skill themselves for the future. I think that's an extreme concern for us. Now, when you look at our economy here in Stevens Point, between the city, the county, the university, the technical college system that we have here, the state employees that are going to take those reductions are going to pose a huge stall to this economy. It is inevitable that that's going to happen. A very good couple of great friends of mine, one of which works here at the School of Ed at the university, the other works at North Central Technical College. That couple alone will lose $1,100 a month from their household income. Now, you multiply that by many others and professors and others who are here in our community, that's going to be a real impact on a community of only 27,000 people. That's going to be a concern. So are we literally privatizing our entire UW system, not to mention just exclusively Madison and Milwaukee? What are the real impacts going to be to the four-year comprehensives in La Crosse and Stevens Point and Oshkosh? I can't answer that question, but I do look at it with extreme concern. We have moved forward with the Wisconsin Institute for Sustainable Technology here at UWSP, recognizing from a private enterprise perspective the catalyst that that research can bring to this local economy. The universities and that research and academia in general are a huge economic catalyst to not only Stevens Point, but the entire state. And I don't know that that's being recognized right now.
Well, I've never seen the state in anything like this. It is just an amazing time here. I haven't had a chance to speak with you very often, but I'm sure that the Democrats are going to be looking for good candidates to run for governor 4 years down the road. Are you going to step up to the plate, Andrew?
Am I going to run for governor? No, that's certainly not something that I had talked about. I'm trying to get reelected to the office of mayor as we speak. That's really where I'd like to continue to serve.
Okay. Just thought I'd ask.
Maybe Jan has ideas, though.
Early, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, you never know.
I just wanted to mention that, obviously, there is a desire to get more money into universities in the state. We've got the largest two-year university right here in Wisconsin, in Waukesha County. It's a great institution, but you know the county's struggling to find the dollars to do what we need to do. The state is, and so the idea of public-private charter universities. We need to be open to things like this. This is what University of Virginia, University of Michigan have done quite successfully, and it's a way to keep the public in the university, but also bring in private dollars. So I wouldn't be afraid of change. I think a lot of this is change, and as people start to, study these issues, I hope they're open-minded about it.
Yeah. Well, you guys have been terrific. Thank you so much for being with us and being with us together for this hour. I really appreciate it.
I just want to mention one thing. Mayor, I just have a fond memories in Stevens Point. The one thing you may not know, I'm sure you alluded to it in the front, that I am a University of Wisconsin graduate. That's what we do have in common, and I just want to wish everybody in Stevens Point and at the university in Portage County, all the best.
You bet. Thank you, Dan. And obviously, it's good, healthy, respectful debate. And maybe if the way in which you and I talk about these issues, if they take some notes from us, maybe we'd have a more stable situation in Madison. You never know. But yes, I did, and we appreciate that very much.
Thank you. Thank you both very much. And I share your admiration for Lee Sherman Dreyfuss. I don't know if it's colored, though, by his saying repeatedly to my husband and me, "You young folks." Oh, I loved it. But he was a great talker, too. That was a really interesting segment. And we thank Dan Brakas, who is Waukesha County Executive, and Andrew Halverson, Mayor of the City of Stevens Point, on the Ideas Network. And hello again. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Wisconsin Public Radio Membership Drive. We have so much happening today. Lisa Nalbandian is joining me in our studio, and the goal of this campaign is simple: to raise the funds we need to pay for the programs that you listen to. Because you value public radio, please take care of public radio. Contribute now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Hi, Lisa.
Hello, Kathleen. Well, we're looking for 5 more pledges by 11 o'clock, and thank you so much if you've already given. If not, let's stay on track and make your contribution right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I hope you've been enjoying the conversation the last 2 hours. It's been informative, it has been very civil, and it has presented wildly different viewpoints about the future of our state. Make a few minutes of your time. Open up a few minutes, if you could, please, to make this hour and many hours to come possible. Put a value on the programs that you enjoy every day. Please make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Today only, everyone who pledges will be entered in a drawing for an iPad. You could be the lucky winner when you pledge of any amount. Today only at WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552, and you don't have to pledge to participate. To enter without donating, send a postcard with your name, address, and telephone number to WPR iPad Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Postcards received by March 10th will also be entered in the drawing. You can find all the details and make a pledge at WPR.org.
I've just learned a lot by listening to public radio. I feel like I can use it. It's something I can use in my life and learn more or do something different or think differently. It kind of runs in my family. My mom listens to public radio. My dad listens to public radio. My brother listens to public radio, although I think he's unlucky because he lives in New York and we have the best public radio here. I've traveled around the country and this is the best. I'm Katie Simonson from Burlington. Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for news and information.
I'm Kathleen Dunn with Lisa Nalbandian, and we're here to ask for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. To reach our goal, we need 4 more pledges during the course of this hour. These have been really important conversations, and I know you realize that, so pledge whatever you can. WPR.org. 888-202-2552. Your gift may be $50 or $100. Some of you may be able to pledge $500. Whatever amount is the right amount. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Many people make a contribution of $60 or $120, and that is fantastic. These are the gifts that add up to a larger portion of our budget. If you can afford it, consider a gift of $1,000. It will help others who can't give right now. Make a gift of $1,000, about $83 a month, or any amount, right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 202-2552. 800-652-5552.
Whether it's 3-minute news updates, 60-minute talk shows, you hear about the topics that affect your life. We've noticed a real big increase in people going to Facebook and to WPR.org because you want to get information. I have all these places I go to, many of them every day to find out what's going on, what's happening, what's next. And we offer that as well. Listeners like you help pay for the quality of the programs and everything that allows you to continue the programs after we're off the air. Please give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We need one more.
One more pledge.
We did it. Oh, we just did it. So let's just keep going.
Yeah, let's keep moving. Let's go. We have 2 more minutes. So let's see how many more we can get in 2 minutes. Pledges like yours keep us on track to support the programs you count on. Thank you so much if you've already given. If not, give right now. 888-202-2552 or WPR.org.
We hear from people who say, I'm a better mom, a better sister, a better employee, a better person, certainly a better citizen because of the WPR experience. Another said, WPR is as important to me as my morning coffee.
If WPR makes you a better person or is an important daily ritual in your life, join your fellow listeners in supporting it. Your donation makes WPR possible. 888-202-2552.
And thanks to Chrissy Pease, Rhonda Fanning for being wonderful producers of this program. Thank you, everyone, for contributing, for making our democracy work by your contributions. We deeply appreciate it. We not only appreciate it, we need you. Thank you. We'll be with you tomorrow.